Good morning and God bless you. This is Michelle with Mornings with Michelle. We're going to continue in the book of Joshua and learn more about this man, servant of God, who took the place of Moses after Moses finished his course in the earth realm, and the Lord took him on to be with him. Well, the Bible says they never found his body, but we know that the Lord was the undertaker, or rather, correct myself by saying the upper taker. There, we'll get back to that part of the story later, but now just bow your head in a moment of prayer and prepare to listen to and receive the word of God. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we acknowledge you as Lord of our lives, as sovereign God, as our loving Heavenly Father, as the one who promised to work all things together for our good because we love you. We do love you, Lord, and we praise you. We magnify your holy name. We lift up the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Father, for who you are in our lives, what you have done, and what you're going to do in behalf of your people. So as we listen to your word, let it be a source of strength, edification, exhortation, motivation, inspiration, and admonition as we hear from the Holy Spirit who authored this holy script. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen and amen. So I'm going to read to you from the book of Joshua, from the New King James Version of the Bible, starting with chapter 2. It says, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out to Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men in hither to night of the children of Israel to search out the country.' And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, 'Bring forth the men that will come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country.' And the woman took the two men and hid them, and thus saith, 'There came men unto me, but wist not whence they were.' And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whether the men went out, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up into the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they pursued after them, they were gone out. They shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto them, unto the men, 'I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. But we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, and when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites, that they were on the other side Jordan, Shiloh and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death.
I'm going to stop there because that there's a moment of just quiet meditation as you hear the petition of Rahab, a harlot, who prayed, who asked for salvation not just for herself, but in that 13th verse, she said, save my father, save my mother, save my brethren, save my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Listen to the petition of this woman. Listen to how she went out of her way and put herself at risk to petition the men of God, the people of God, the men whose victory she had heard about from afar, how God delivered them, the children of Israel. She had heard about it. She said she heard. She heard what God had done for them, and it put fear in the hearts of the people of that land. And she did not want to be consumed by the wrath of God, the true and living God, in not helping the servants of God. I'm going to stop at this point in the reading for a moment because I want to challenge you who know the Lord for yourself. I want to challenge you who've heard of the goodness of God, who've heard of the miraculous workings of God, who've heard of the power of God to save, heal, deliver. You were not the recipient of those miraculous answers to prayer, but you heard about that brother down the street that was hit by the car, was left for dead, but God raised him up in a matter of a day or two or three. And now he's living his life like he'd never been experienced such a horrific event. You heard of a young teenager that was roaming the streets doing evil and corruption that was in his heart. But God transformed his life and filled him full of the Holy Ghost. And now he's preaching the good news of the gospel. You heard of friends or neighbors or co-workers who testified of how God spared their lives, delivered them from death, protected them from hurt, harm, and danger. They were in a carjacking. The gun was pointed directly in their face, and it misfired. You've heard of people that were where the bomb went off, but then God turned that around, and they walked away unscathed. You've heard of how God has helped, delivered, healed, raised his people up. And God wants to do the same thing for you. And when you pray and God delivers you, remember the prayer of or the petition of Rahab. She was not a saved woman. She did not know the Lord for herself. In that second chapter of Joshua, the Bible refers her to her as a harlot, a woman of the night, a woman of the streets, a woman who sold her body for filthy lucre, for worldly gain. That was Rahab. But Rahab is in the genealogy of Jesus. So I promise you, God can transform the life of anybody, any soul. He can transform your life. This morning, I just want to give you a word of encouragement. Even as you pray, don't forget to pray, even as Rahab prayed. She prayed that she said, I pray you, swear unto me by God, since I have shown you kindness, that ye also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a token, and that ye save alive my father. She interceded for her family. Save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, my sisters, Listen to the petitions of this woman. Listen to the petitions of Rahab the harlot. And pray, even as she prayed, for salvation of your household. And she continued to pray that God would save all that they have and deliver their lives from death. I'm going to close there with a word of prayer. As I pray, as Rahab prayed, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would save the lives of our fathers, of our mothers, of our brethren, of our sisters, and all that we have, all that they have, that you would deliver them from death, that you would deliver them out of the hands of the enemy, but save them from death, out of the hands of any friendly fire, casualties that were happenstances of being bystanders in a place where they had no way to escape. Father, in the name of Jesus, I beg you, I plead with you, I petition you, I ask you in the name of Jesus that you will remember the families of anyone that's listening to this message this morning, that you would cause them to become intercessors for their household and believe you for household salvation, not just for what they have in their homes, their stuff, but for they themselves, that they would be saved, delivered, set free, and brought into a wealthy place. Remember the prayer, the petition of Rahab. And even as you did for Rahab, change the name so that she is no longer a harlot, but she is of the lineage of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, a name to remember, be remembered for generations to come. I bless this people in the name of the Lord. And as we continue the study of Joshua, the son of Nun, who sent two men privately into this land to scout out the land, even Jericho, I pray that you would give us the faith to scout out the land that you have promised us and give us favor when we get there in that corporate room, office meeting, on that corporate ground, in that neighborhood, community, or municipality, wherever you send us, let us find favor. Let us find someone right there that you can use to help us get done what we need to do and keep us safe while we're there. In Jesus' name I pray. And Father, thank you for these blessings. And it is so. Amen and amen. Now go your way today on this beautiful, beautiful Tuesday morning with Mornings with Michelle. And go after what God has given you. And remember, become an intercessor. Pray for your cousins, your neighbors, your friends, and especially your family members, that God will save and deliver them and keep you all safe as you go about your way today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you all. I love you. Bye for now.
I know the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I know the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Ooh, he maketh me to lie down in pastures so lovely and green. And I know the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Amen. This is Elder Michelle. Hey, God bless you. Thought I'd go back a little bit and remember my mom and sing a little bit to you. She sang all the time, and wow, that song takes me back. Way, 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 way back. Hopefully you can relate to it too. As I promised, I'm going to share with you Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is a psalm that I learned when I was a child, and I think many, many a person learned that psalm as a child. I grew up praying Psalm 23 and praying what we call the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. And so from the time that I was a child, I prayed those two. And sometimes not understanding all that I was praying, but as time went on, I came to understand it better by and by. The Word of God says, if you follow on to know the Lord, you will know him in a greater way. It also tells us that if you train up a child in the way that he or she should go, when he gets old, he will not depart from that way. And so knowing that, we must continue to teach and instruct and train our children up in righteousness, but not only train them, but set the example before them that they can look at and follow as they are growing up and enter into their adult years, making decisions about life, exercising wisdom and caution and faith as they do so. I can reflect back on my mother's life, and I honor my mom and the 93 years that she walked this earth because she set before me an example of holiness and righteous living that was irrefutable. She was a widow with six kids, and she raised them herself without any assistance of a man other than my dad, who passed away when I was just a young child. And so therefore, what I'm saying is that she really had no assistance for our upbringing. But her faith in God sustained us and sustained her. And when I say the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, well, that means that whatever it is that you need or desire, there is nothing left unfulfilled, because your shepherd knows what the sheep needs and he provides those needs for the sheep. I know that there's a difference between wants and needs. God helps us to understand those differences as we mature in him, and what we want in life may not always coincide with what we need, but once our needs are supplied by God, we're not going to find ourselves wanting this and wanting that. Our wants are met as well. So he said, if you would delight yourself in him, he would give you the desires of your heart. So I would like to admonish you to just look to the Lord, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved. To call upon him while he's near. Let the righteous man call on him continually, and the unrighteous man, turn your back on that unrighteousness and turn your hearts towards God. Who's righteous and who's unrighteous? You know your heart. God knows your heart. I'm not judging you. Judge yourself. And then you don't have to be judged. Amen. Let me go on to Psalm 23, because I'll get to talking and I don't want to keep you all day. I just want to give you something to inspire you, motivate you, encourage you, and give you the strength that you need for today's journey. I don't know what today may bring, but just a quick word of prayer. Father, whatever today may bring for my listener, I pray that you would infuse them with strength and faith, hope and courage to meet any challenge, to defeat any enemy, and to press on into that place in the kingdom of God that you have ordained for their life with victory, faith, and determination. This is my prayer. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Okay, Psalm 23, a psalm of David from the King James Version of the Bible. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. My granddaughter asked me, what does that mean? I shall not want. Well, I went on to explain that to her, and I kind of tapped into that a moment ago, but sometimes we want things that we don't need, and our shepherd knows what we need, and so he supplies every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and therefore we don't have to want for anything because God has already supplied that it is that we need. Okay, I'm going to try to get through this psalm without stopping and without saying a whole lot. I might say more after I've read it, but forgive me if I interject some thoughts as the Lord brings them to me. I'm going to start again. Verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That sounds so good. Yeah. He leadeth me beside the still waters, peaceful, calm. Praise God. He restoreth my soul. Restoration to the soul. Doesn't that sound delightful? Ooh, refreshing your mind. And okay, let me go on. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Yes, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Comforting the Holy Spirit, the Comforter has come. God sent him into this earth realm to comfort his people. Comfort ye, comfort ye, comfort ye, my people, saith the prophet Isaiah. Thou prepare the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. That was Psalm 23. It's a psalm that all of us know, I'm sure, or have heard about, I'm sure. And it was penned by David, the shepherd boy, the king of Israel, the man that God refers to as a man after the heart, the very heart of God. David, the adulterer, forgive me. David, the murderer. Yes, the same David. David, the shepherd boy. David, the Goliath slayer. You can call David whatever you want to call him. But God called him a man after his own heart. He had the heart of God. Even though in his humanity, he did things that were evil or ungodly or even wicked and sinful. But David knew God. And when you know God for yourself, you can talk about him. You can write about him. You can sing about him. You can call him your shepherd, your redeemer, your deliverer. You can call him the fortress of your life. You know him in those dynamics because you've gone through all of those things where you've cried out to him for help, for strength, for deliverance, for forgiveness, according to Psalm 51, where David prayed, oh God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Blot out my transgressions. Forgive me for all of my sins. Renew a heart in me that's right and a spirit that's right, because I've sinned against thee and thee only. David knew God to be a forgiving God. He knew a God to be a God who restored. He knew a God to be a healer and a provider and a shepherd. And in Psalm 23, he writes about that shepherd. And he says to him, he says of him, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." Have you ever been in a place where you just needed your shepherd to just lead you to a place where you can just graze and dine and be fed and be nurtured and be watched over and taken care of, to a place where your soul can be refreshed and restored, renewed and revived? That's what the shepherd does for his sheep. And this is what the psalmist is talking about in Psalm 23. Have you ever needed God to just lead you in the way that he wanted you to go, because you were just tired of meandering and wandering in the wilderness, trying to find your own path? And everywhere you go, it seems like you just bump your head and you just can't get to where it is you're trying to go. You pray the psalmist's prayer, "He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake." You are his child. You are the sheep of his pasture. And he desires to lead you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Because we want his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you have a personal and intimate relationship with your shepherd. And as such, your shepherd wants to, desires to, and will lead you if you trust him. Don't be hard-headed. Don't be stubborn. Don't have a goat spirit and just wander off in a direction that the Lord is not leading you. But be like that lamb, that sheep that can easily be led by the shepherd, will keep its eyes on the shepherd, will follow the shepherd's leading, because the place that he wants to take you to, you could never find on your own. And the things that he's protecting you from, you could never defeat on your own. It's important to follow the leader. Follow the leader. We played that game and as children. It has a significance in the spirit realm. Well, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley, through the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." We are certainly walking through some valley days right now. We're in the middle of a pandemic. You wonder, should I go here? Should I go there? Should I do this? Should I do that? The shadow of death lingers overhead. Every day in the news, hundreds of thousands of people are being infected with this horrific virus and are dying from it every single day. And you wonder, should I go here? Should I do that? Is it safe to do this, that, or the other? Your shepherd will lead you. And even though you walk through this valley, you do not have to be afraid, for God is with you. You shall fear no evil, for God is with you. Your shepherd is with you. He's with you. And as you trust him in this hour, he will keep you in the midst of the storm. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou prepareth a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." You know, you need to begin to decree and declare what the Word of God says. We know that trouble is in the land, but we need to decree and declare that goodness and mercy are going to follow us all the days of our life, that the Lord is with us. Goodness and mercy following us, our shepherd leading us. So if the shepherd, our shepherd, the shepherd that David the psalmist speaks about is leading us, and goodness and mercy are following us, what in the world can come against us? Our head is covered, our back is covered. The Lord is leading us. His angels are surrounding us. His blood is covering us. What else do we need for peace and safety? We have it all. But we have to decree it, declare it. And even in Ephesians, it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And having done all to stand, you can keep on standing because your loins are girt about with truth and you have the feet of God. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You walk in victory and not in defeat. And so therefore, you are triumphant and even greater than that. For the word of God says we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loves us. Okay, you're getting me excited here. So let me calm down a little bit. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going to live with God forever. I'm going to reign and rule with him forever. My God, what an awesome thought to embrace as I go through my day, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy is going to come in the morning. That God will avenge me of my adversaries, that he will give me back everything that I've lost, that has been stolen, that the canker worm has eaten up and the palmer worm has destroyed. God, you will do it for your people. What an awesome thought, shepherd. What an awesome thought that our God loves us so, that he will watch over us and care for us and anoint us with oil and restore our souls and lead us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. What an awesome thought that we're cared for, that we're loved, that we're protected. That when we're injured, our shepherd will pick us up and lay us across his shoulder and comfort us until we're better, until we're healed, until we're able to get up and go along, get up and run again. People of God, wherever you're listening to this podcast, whether you're in the Middle Eastern countries, whether you're in Africa, Asia, Europe, whether you're in the United States, in the Philippines, Mexico, Canada, wherever you may be listening right now, I pray that you would get to know the shepherd of Psalm 23. Jesus cares for you. He loves you. He's the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundations of the world. He was the accepted sacrifice whose blood was shed for the remission of your sins. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And Jesus said of himself, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. Do you know him? Do you know Jesus Christ, God's Son? Have you heard him? Have you heard his voice through the word of God? Have you seen him for yourself as you've read the scriptures, as you've listened to the word of God? If you have not, I want to admonish you, encourage you, challenge you to see him for yourself. To read that Psalm 23 over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, asking God to reveal himself to you through that word and to anoint you with oil, to spread a table before you in the presence of your enemies, and to let your cup run over, your spirit just be so full of God that you have to open up your mouth and tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. People, I tell you today, you can get to know him like that in a very real and a very intimate way. Intimacy. That's something you share with no other, and that only you and that person have that connection like that. Intimate. Where you can share everything that's in your heart and everything that's in you. God wants that kind of relationship with you. Do you know him in an intimate and real way? If you don't, I just want to lead you in a word of prayer. If you pray this prayer today, this hour, and even right now, you'll get to know Jesus in a personal and real way. And you too will be able to pray and say what Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Pray with me. Say, O God, creator of all the ends of the earth, creator of all life, I ask you to come into my heart in a personal and real way. I want to feel your presence. I want to understand your word, and I want you to reveal yourself to me in an intimate and real way. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and I want Jesus to come into my heart and live there as my Savior. I want you, Lord, to be my shepherd. Amen. Amen. If you pray that prayer or anything similar, repenting of your sins and inviting Creator God to come into your heart, you are saved because Jesus died for you. And I'm praying for you that this moment, this hour, and this day, your life will be transformed. And you will begin to speak words of life to people all around you, telling them what Jesus has done for you. Well, my time is up. And this is Elder Michelle saying, I know the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Well, listen, I'm going to let you go because I need to sing that song and glorify God and just let him bless my soul. I want you to check the podcast and find a way to leave me a message. I want to hear from you. If you're out there, I want you to say something. Say hi. Say something. And also, if you have a prayer request, if you put that in, I'll be glad to pray for you. This is Elder Michelle saying goodbye for now. And remember, Jesus loves you. I love you. And the worst is over. The best is yet to come. God bless. Mm-hmm. Is my shepherd, and I shall not want. And I know the Lord, he is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I shall not want. Only maketh me lie down in green pastures, and I shall not want. Then he leadeth me beside the still waters, and I shall not want. Yeah. I know the Lord, he is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Mm-hmm.